Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to The Dads Must Be Crazy. I am Craig, joined by Howie.
Hello, everybody.
And Bobby.
Howdy.
Howie, you have a message to start us out with today.
Typically on this show, it is a common occurrence for me to complain about my son.
We all complain about our kids.
But on this show, I tend to complain about my son a lot more probably than you guys complain about your kids. At least I feel that way. I may have, if I'm wrong, oh well. But now he's in eighth grade, and he's on the Masterminds team in Medina. And this past Friday, he had the chance to more or less be moved up to varsity for the Scholastic Bowl bit that goes on at WLVL. He helped Medina win. There was a try meet.
Who hosts that? Is it still Tom Prohaska?
No.
Or is he gone?
No, it's not Prohaska. I'm positive it's not that guy. It's on the LVL website because I streamed the show. It was Medina against North Tonawanda and I want to say Wilson. And at the end of the first round, Medina was trailing. By the end of the game, Medina had won by like 45 or 50 points. And it was one round where Medina just cleaned up, and it was all my son. Because everybody's kind of mic'd up, and the category was geography. Now, you know as well as I do, Craig, my son loves this world domination game that he plays on his iPad. And with the category being geography, the questions were basically, we're going to give you a capital. You need to name the country that this capital is in. And after about the third or fourth country and capital were spoken, I started laughing because I was envisioning a sitcom style thing or a Spaceball style thing where it's like, prepare to fast forward, prepare to fast forward, fast forward, fast forward. And everybody was repeating everything. So the moderator is saying Budapest, and I'm hearing my son go Hungary, and then team captain goes Hungary, Oslo, Norway, and just kept going just like that. And it for 10 straight questions, he got them all in under 30 seconds. Medina got all of their bonus points. And at the end of it, the moderator looked over at Alex and was like, yeah, good job, Alex. Meanwhile, Alex wasn't the one giving the final answer. So when he got home, my wife is the one who picked him up. She mentioned, you know, hey, we're proud of you. You did well. But she was listening at her office because she was working late on Friday. And everybody was like, isn't that Alex's voice? So he did well for himself.
That's good.
I was proud of him. All of us, though, were very disappointed that nobody on any of the teams knew that Patrick Swayze played Johnny Castle in Dirty Dancing. One guy had no idea who Patrick Swayze was, and when they were trying to name the movie, he says it was Castle Man. I'm like, I don't know who Castle Man is, but it sounds like the most boring superhero ever.
First off, Patrick Swayze is like a Texas treasure.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're from Texas, you know Patrick Swayze. It doesn't matter if it's Dirty Dancing or
Red Dawn, any movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, Red
Dawn. What was the Roadhouse? Yeah. Anyway,
I mean,
back
all,
to the subject.
The bit with Chris Farley
and Chippendales is
like,
good luck. I hope you do well. It's like, well, oh man, I'm not gonna make it. But that's still one of the funniest bits ever. And my wife is texting me. I'm like, please tell me you just heard that whole thing. And she's like, I'm dying. This was hysterical. And then we laughed about the Castle Man bit. One person's like, in Australia, this species of animal falls under this category. And one guy says, roo. We're like, no, it's not roo. It's a marsupial. Exactly. I was thinking, maybe he's thinking Kanga and Roo from Winnie the Pooh. And he's still wrong either way. The only drawback to Alex doing well this past Friday is that he's kind of walked around with a little bit more of a
has kind of an ego.
He already has a huge ego. Right. He just kind of stoked it. I'm hoping he gets knocked back down to size in a little while.
So I got to tell you, when we were talking about the Bills Mafia, he had no clue, and it was kind of funny.
So, I mean, my son is extraordinarily book smart.
Right.
And that's a good thing. I'm not going to take that away from him.
Right.
The pop culture aspect of things, he's still learning. But
that iPad game that he plays, he came up to us at bowling two weeks ago.
I think,
and he goes, what should I name this country? And I go, why don't you name it Austria? Because that's the country it is.
Yeah.
And he goes, no. I go, why don't you name it the United States of Judaism?
Or Judas.
Judas, yeah.
Yeah.
The throwback to George there.
Yeah, and he's like, what does that mean? And we're like, oh, just go away. You're bugging me with this thing. And so
That game has got to be one of your pet peeves with him, though.
Yeah, we're going to steer right into that, and that would be pet peeves, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And yes, that is my biggest pet peeve with him right now, among others. But this is the one that is very high up there, because he'll be sitting on the couch or the love seat, somewhere in like the very, you know, common area of the house, on his iPad, playing this world domination game. It's very similar to Risk, but it's a lot more involved, and he showed me different bits of it. I'm like, Alex, I don't care. And he's like, well, I don't care when you mention your fantasy hockey team to me. I go, Alex, I'll tell you who I'm playing that week and whether I'm winning or losing. I'm not going to go via, you know, stat by stat by stat by stat, because that will bore you to tears. I'll talk to you about it for maybe 10 seconds. You chew my ear about this video game for...
And me.
Quite a long time, and we don't care.
Whenever he's at bowling, he tells me all about the game and like how he's overtaking the world. And I go, well, it looks like you haven't taken over France, which should be a pushover. And right. He goes, but they're my allies. It's France, dude.
I remember when we went to Ready Player One a couple years ago, he was like, what do I do with Canada? And someone, I think it was your nephew, says, nothing. They don't do it. There was a big Canadian insult in there somewhere. Like
they do nothing but complain about America, so
yeah,
whatever.
And it just, I imagine that him playing this game is similar in a very broad sense of the term to any of the three of us playing video games when we were younger and our parents asking us to do something and our response being in a minute or I'm about to or when I'm done.
All weekend.
Yeah. So I think to start things off, probably the most common pet peeve the three of us are going to have is any of us asking our kids to do something and being told to wait for any amount of time.
Mm-mm.
It's like, get it done now.
I don't have that issue.
Then you're very lucky.
No, I used to have that issue. I don't play that game with my kids. When I tell you to do something, it gets done. Like, there is no hold on. I don't wait on you. You wait on me. And some people may be like, wow, that's kind of mean. Every once in a while, I still get, I get it once in a blue moon. I'll be honest. Hey, I need a minute. Most of the time, I'm like, why? Well, I'm on the toilet, or I've got a, you know, I'm helping mommy with, you know, make bread right now. Okay, I can understand those things.
Legitimate reasons will fly.
Legitimate reasons, yes. But obviously, you know, if you're playing a video game or you're doing something goofy in your room, I don't care.
I was guilty of that last night.
I say, I'm like, come downstairs and get your stuff out of the living room because you bring your stuff down. You know, so like my biggest pet peeve that I have, well, not biggest, but it's probably up there. I don't have an ice maker in my refrigerator, so I have the ice cube trays that you have to fill and freeze, and I'm okay with this. My oldest will take all the ice out of the trays and then put the trays back in the freezer empty.
Empty.
And I go to get some ice because I'm like, you know what sounds great right now? A delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola.
Or any beverage, for that matter, that requires ice.
Ice-cold Coca-Cola for
okay.
me.
Okay.
But ice-cold water is good, too.
Hey.
Because I love water. But I go to look for ice. There's none in my freezer.
That would annoy me.
And at
greatly.
That point,
yes.
I'm half a second from rage bombing. I mean, I have enough respect. Like, if there's two or three ice cubes left in the tray, then I dump it in my Tupperware dish that I have in there as my ice bin.
And you refill it.
And then I refill it and then freeze it because I like ice in my drinks. I know not everybody does. I don't care. But there are some of us that do. And when you do get an ice cube out of the tray and the tray is empty, refill it, put it back in the freezer.
We have the same issue. Patience is the worst one. Does it all the time. Because she has a smoothie in the morning for breakfast, and she'll put it in with like one ice cube left in it. I'm like, come on.
Exactly.
Like, you couldn't find room in that smoothie for that one last ice cube, and then refilled it?
Or just throw the ice cube in the sink. It's water. It's going to melt. Refill it and put it in the freezer.
On this, this is a similar type thing, but a completely different material. So I understand and completely appreciate the whole ice cube thing, but you know what annoys me would be when the same thing happens with like a box of crackers or a box of cookies or a box of cereal, and it's put back in a cabinet, and you've got less than a bowl's worth of cereal or less than two crackers worth of crackers, or worst of all, once a year, everybody goes trick-or-treating, right? My kids or my wife, I don't know who, because I know it's definitely not me, I will go to consolidate all the Halloween candy a couple days later, so that I'm saving some room on a table in the counter. And as I dump all the candy into a gigantic bowl, I have to take out the empty wrappers because people will have eaten candy and put the wrappers back in the Halloween bucket. I'm like, why are you doing that? That's garbage.
We don't have that issue. What we have is a trail of empty wrappers, so you can tell where
they're at. So you can find the culprit.
Yes. Yeah.
So basically, you have ET living in your house for a couple days.
Right.
Okay.
We kind of have the same thing. So we buy snacks for our kids' lunches, you know, when they do take their lunch, because sometimes they like to take it every now and then. And so my wife will buy all these variety of snacks. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go in there and get one of these snacks because it just sounds really good. And I go in there and I grab the box and it's completely empty.
Oh, I hate that.
And it's in the pantry and it's empty.
Yeah, I hate that. Yeah.
But, like, it's only 2 days after she bought it.
I know. And I'm like, the recycle bin is 5 feet away. Like, you got my... I'm not so much mad the box is empty. I'm mad that my hopes and dreams got crushed.
I'm mad that
because
the box is
empty. Really wanted that bag of Scooby snacks.
We did that last week. Wendy bought 2 boxes of... snack size chips, and they have crunchy Cheetos in there. My downfall is crunchy Cheetos.
Cheetos are the bomb.
It's not easy. And so
I'll go to the box. She bought them on Sunday, so this is Wednesday morning before I'm going to work. You know what? I'm going to have a Cheeto bag of Cheetos before I go to work. I go to the box. Both boxes are empty. I go, it's been 2 school days. How the hell can they be empty? Well, what happened was, well, with 4 kids, they all take 2 for lunch, and they're bowling or they're at band practice or they're at dance or they have
one of the
drama,
other 15,000 activities
take extra for after school for the after school. I'm like, are you kidding me?
So they're taking 2 for lunch and 4 more for the rest of the day.
Exactly.
That's what it sounds like.
You know, my daughter Morgan, the oldest, we buy these flavored breads from Pepperidge Farm or whatever, like the cinnamon and the
I love making French toast with those things.
Those they're great. Yeah. Every now and then I like to make some toast with them. She will get a brand new loaf and eat the entire loaf in one sitting.
I miss bread. I really do.
She does that thing with a thing of Pringles. Like, I'll get the barbecue Pringles because I like barbecue Pringles. And I'll get a couple of, you know, chips out and then I'll put it back. And then eventually I go back and get some more chips. Like, it lasts me a little bit because I like to stretch it out because I enjoy them.
The kids find them. Sounds like a Hoover.
It does. A really crunchy Hoover. And then there's crumbs in my living room, and so I'm wondering why my dogs are, like, licking my floor. And so I now no longer have any Pringles, you know, which a can of Pringles will normally...
But you have a greatly clean floor.
At that point, I do. And during the summer, you, maybe a small ant problem. You know, but, you know, we fix that with, obviously, with Home Defense. And, you know, I make sure that my kids vacuum the house, so I make sure my floors get vacuumed, like, every other day. Especially with kids. I try to, but it doesn't seem that it happens as often as you can. And it's like the weather is another one of my pet peeves, like right now. Because a couple of days ago, it was 40 degrees and a mud pit outside.
Last night at 10 o'clock, it was 40 degrees outside. It was really warm last night.
It was raining while it was snow blowing my driveway.
Right. It was snowing during the day like crazy, yep. But then... 9:30 at night, I walk outside, Wendy walked outside, locked the garage, and she goes, it's like spring out here.
I'm like, it's almost like Texas weather. Like, can we just pick a season and be that?
It would
because
be nice.
The other day in Texas, they had, what was it? They had rain, then they had a tornado, and then, no, it snowed, and then they had rain, and then they had a tornado, and then it got cold, and everything iced over. And it was all in like one day.
It's like that here because of the lakes. The lakes kind of... help us and hinder us when it comes to weather. They always say, if you want to know what Western New York weather is like, wait 15 minutes.
Well, I was going to say 10 minutes, but yeah, same principle applies.
The same thing in, you know, being born and raised in Texas. It was always like, you don't like the weather in Texas, just wait 5 minutes. It'll change. And it really is that way.
There's a question I have for you about that then.
What's that?
Because my sister lives in Indiana, which is higher risk of tornadoes. And she says it'll go from a clear blue sky to all of a sudden it just builds up and it's there. Is it the same way in Texas when it comes to those storms like that?
Yeah, it can get that way. It can do that. A lot of times you see a wall cloud will come in.
I've seen those before when I lived in Iowa.
And well, there's lots of tornadoes in Iowa, too.
Yes, there are.
So the where I grew up in Texas, in northeast Texas, that is actually still part of Tornado Alley. It's on the very southern end of Tornado Alley. But I've been around 9 tornadoes in my life in Texas in just that area. We had 5 come through in one night. I think it was 96 when Lancaster, Texas got leveled by 5 tornadoes in one night. I mean, completely took the historic downtown section and just crushed it. Our brand new library that was 10 years old, just gone. We completely wiped off the face of the earth. Just history. Along with all those books, too. So, I mean... we had an old saloon from like the old gunfighting Western days and stuff. I mean, it was a lot of stuff that was preserved, just gone. But yeah, it can do that. Like all of a sudden everything's fine and then boom, here it comes. You're like, whoa. and then like a flash flood. Have you guys ever been in one of them?
Nope.
I've reported on something that approached the level of a flash flood, but I was not in one. No.
Yeah, it's not like you go, you know, hey, we're going to get rain and we're probably going to flood. It's like, we got this storm coming and it's going to be a bad one. And then like 5 minutes later, you've got a flood going on. Like it just, boom, it happens.
It rains so hard, the earth can't take it in at all,
all the water.
Just pushes it away.
Yeah.
Now, I've never really seen a tornado. We don't really get tornadoes here. Maybe mm-mm. once a decade, you might have something that approaches a tornado. The last one I can remember, I was like 15 and it came off the lake. So it was a water spout that actually turned into a tornado on land and went through Medina.
I wasn't there for that.
No, you weren't anywhere.
No, I was in New York for what was the closest thing I can remember to being a tornado. It was Labor Day weekend of 1998 in Syracuse when a whole bunch of trees on campus basically got uprooted and it was terrible. I mean, a bunch of guys were like, hey, we're going to go outside. And it was pouring rain. They went outside and they came back inside about 5 seconds later, like, not happening, right? It was bad. And I actually called my mother about 2:30 in the morning. I said, I want you to know I'm okay. She goes, what's the matter? What's going on? I go, pretty sure we just got hit by a tornado. My building is okay. The campus appears okay. But there's not going to be any class on, you know, Tuesday or whatever like that. They had to cancel class. I mean, Syracuse never cancels classes. And they canceled classes that Tuesday along with that Monday because it was Labor Day because campus needed to pick up after itself.
Right.
It was ridiculous. When my wife and I lived in Des Moines, we had an apartment building that looked out over downtown. We were on basically 30th Street. So we were 30 blocks from the heart of downtown Des Moines. And if you looked right out of our balcony window and going on the balcony and looked to the right, you could see planes landing and taking off from the Des Moines airport about 5 miles away. And I remember one time, one summer, it was really pretty clear blue. Started raining a little while later. Next thing we know, we hear this tornado sirens from downtown. I'm like, this isn't good. So I walk out on the balcony to see what's going on. I turn around and she's got both cats in their carrier. Like, let's go to the basement right now. We need to go. I'm like, oh man, cool. Look at that wall cloud. I'm like, I'm being like real inquisitive. And she's like, we need to go right now. The wall cloud wound up not forming into an actual tornado, but it was very amazing to watch.
Well, the wall cloud necessarily won't turn into that because what you need is a funnel cloud.
Right.
So, and then once it starts getting that rotation and it starts just reaching down, either dive into a bathtub with a mattress or reach down and grab your ankles and kiss your backside goodbye. Because if you're in the path of that thing, it's definitely not a good thing.
And you can't tell what the path is because it goes all over the place.
That is absolutely true. But another part is it's not so much the tornado itself. It's what the tornado has picked up and is swirling around.
Yeah.
So, like, they have done tests where they've taken 2x4s. 2x4s will go through a brick wall and go through a house. And I believe that's an F2. Or an EF2, sorry, with the new Fujita scale that they have. But it will go through a brick wall, like on the outside of a house, and come right into your kitchen or living room or whatever. So when they say you need to get low into the lowest point that you can in your home, like, absolutely.
I'm realizing, of course, as I'm telling you about how stupid I was standing on the balcony watching all this take place, I was the living embodiment of one of my biggest pet peeves, which is when you see people like living on the East Coast of different coastal cities and tornadoes, not tornadoes, but hurricanes are coming in. It's like, we're going to stay. We're going to rebuild. It's like, why? Get out of there. They're telling you to evacuate. You need to go away. Why are you on the news telling us how? I understand some people have made they've put their life's blood into where their home is, but at the same time, what good is your life's work if you're not alive to enjoy it? You know, go build it somewhere else type of thing. I'm not there, so I really can't speak to that frame of mind. I do know that at one point, though, a year or two after this wall cloud whole thing happened, I was editor for a weekly newspaper, and my intern called me up. He's like, hey, I know we're supposed to go to a hockey game tonight in Des Moines. I don't know if I'm going to get there. I said, what's the matter, Josh? Everything okay? He goes, yeah, I'm driving home right now because I want to pick a few things up. And I'm, yep. I'm like, what's the matter? He's like, I had to stop my car. I go, where are you? Well, I'm on 141 and I just watched a tornado go in front of me. I go, are you sure? He goes, oh, I'm positive it was a tornado. I go, are you okay? He's like, yeah.
He had to change his underwear.
Well, I'm like,
probably a little rattled.
I said, is your car okay? He goes, I think so. I go, is the tornado still going? What's going on? He goes, well, it looks like it's going through downtown Woodward. I go, is that where you're going? Is that where your home is? He's like, let me call you back in a few minutes. He did. He's like, well, let's see. Casey's is pretty bad. There's a couple buildings that are pretty bad. I go, listen, do you have your camera on you? He's like, yeah. I go, Josh, keep a couple things in mind. One, you're not an EMT. Two, if you stay and start trying to do too much, you're going to wind up getting in somebody's way. Three, we're a weekly paper. None of what you're going to do now is going to be spot news or whatever. If you've got your phone or camera, great. Take as many photos as you can in the next 10 minutes and then get the heck out of there because you're just going to be in the way. He's like, what are you talking about? I go, we're going to need photos because this is our front page story for next week. But next week's paper still doesn't come out for another 3-4 days. Get the photos, get out of there, and stay out of the way. He's like, okay. 5 minutes later, the sports editor calls up. He goes, Howie, it's Jeff. We can't find Josh. There's been a tornado in Woodward. And I go, I've spoken to Josh. We're all set. You coming to the game? He goes, what? And so everybody down to the game, and I bought Josh a beer because, you know, he was a little rattled. But it was one of those things where it's like, okay, I just spoke to somebody who did his job and got out of the way.
Now, I've never actually, been through a tornado, but we were on vacation with my sister in Indiana. She lives in Fort Wayne. We had gone down to Kentucky to visit Mammoth Cave. So on our way back, we're driving, and my sister's in the car behind us. She's probably half a mile behind us or so. And I'm watching the weather as we're heading back north through Indiana, and there's this really weird cloud system. I go, well, that looks weird. Wendy and I are talking about it, and we're watching the clouds move right across the roadway. I'm like, well, that's really awesome looking. That, I mean, it's beautiful. We're about a mile away, right? All of a sudden, my phone rings, and my sister goes, pull over. That's a tornado. Okay. It was pretty from where we were at.
Yeah. I will say one of the coolest things about living in Des Moines was that it was so flat when the lightning would touch down, it would like turn into like a spider web in the sky. Because around here, you have so many lights and other things and mountains, and you can't really see everything. But it's just like it literally lit up the sky. It was amazing. I was actually bragging about it to my brother at one point. He goes, that's nothing. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I've flown above lightning storms. I've seen cooler things. And I'm like, well, yeah, you got me beat there.
Well, we're way off on a tangent.
Well, what I was going to say is, speaking of tornadoes
is
and
this
pet peeves.
What's going on tangents?
I brought up the weather as a pet peeve, but since we talked about tornadoes, another one of my pet peeves is when my house looks like a tornado has gone through.
Oh, you're not kidding.
Because my kids, especially my little man, will bring a bucket of toys from his room downstairs. And then I will find the bucket in the living room and a couple of toys here and a couple of toys there. And then usually there's a toy or two that our hound dog Roscoe has ran off with and has been chewing on underneath the dining room table. So now I've got to clean that mess up, and now I've got to rally my son to clean up his mess and get that stuff out of here, because I'm like, look, the living room is a common area for everyone in the house. You don't get to come down here and bring all your stuff and junk it up and just leave it. I'm just like, I don't mind you bringing a few things down, playing with it, bringing a few books down, reading and stuff. But when you are done with it, back up to your room with it, because guess what? That's where it goes. It doesn't belong in the living room, and it doesn't belong in the dining room, which seems to be the dumping ground for my children. Like, they just, okay, I'm going to bring this down. I don't feel like putting it in my room. I'm going to put it on the server in the dining room. No, that's for food. That's why it's called a server.
Right.
Like, it's not meant for, you know, handy manny books and play kitchen stuff and chemistry sets. Although chemistry set's pretty cool, it doesn't go in my dining room. You know, we do chemistry when we bake. We'll do chemistry there. Keep your crap out of my area.
You know, I'm going to echo a lot of what you just said, but make it more personalized, which is be like, you know, I don't like that. I will get a room clean. Most of the cleaning in my house falls to me because I was the one who was home the longest, and everybody just kind of expects, all right, daddy'll do it. I'll get a room clean.
You're to break them of that.
It's disgusting. It really is. So I'll get a room clean and it'll look good for about a day. And then, like, I don't know what happens. I mean, I honestly do not know what happens. I will walk into that room like maybe 2 days later and look at it and go,
doesn't have to be 2 days later. Well, man, let me tell you, I am not a neat freak by any stretch of the imagination. Clutter doesn't really bother me up to a point.
Yes.
Now, I was at home on a Tuesday morning by myself because Mondays and Tuesdays are my day off, and the house was a disaster, and I had writing to do. So as a writer, you know, the first thing you do is procrastinate.
No.
Find any excuse you can find not to do something with writing. So I decided, you know what? I don't feel like writing. I'd rather clean the house. That tells you how much I did not want to write.
I've been there multiple times.
So I clean the entire house. Takes me all day. So around 2 o'clock, I'm finally settling down, and I'm going to throw something on the television to watch it before the girls get home at 2:30. The girls get home. I start doing errands to run them here and there, and the kids are coming in and coming out. So at dinner time, I said, Wendy, I spent a lot of the time today just cleaning because I had to get the house clean. She goes, oh, I could tell when I first got home. I can't tell anymore. The whole house is destroyed in the same afternoon, and they're barely there. What happens is because they're barely there, they drop this here, they drop this there, they grab something else that they need to do their errand.
Yeah.
And it's in with something else, so they drop the other parts there. So there's like this
explosion of kid stuff everywhere.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Yes. And then I have one kid who's really good at cleaning up after everything. Like, she'll do the dishes, she'll do laundry, she'll clean the bathroom. She's most excellent at it.
Sounds like thing two.
It is. My biggest pet peeve with her, though, is she does a great job for 90% of the job. The last 10%, I'm like, what were you thinking? Like, probably the biggest pet peeve I have with her is when she does the dishes. She does a great job. She gets them all washed. She puts them on the drying rack, and then she drains the water in the sink. But then she doesn't clean out the sink. She leaves the dish rag in the bottom of the sink and whatever detritus was on the plates in the bottom of the sink. So you walk in an hour later, and you go, oh, my God, what's that smell? And you look in the sink, and here is a dishcloth now that is coated with God knows what.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Right, for the whole day. And there's all this stuff stuck in the trap and on the sides of the sink. I said to her the other day, if you can't clean out the sink when you're done, you're not going to get credit for doing the job at all. I mean, my God.
Now, I know if people listening to this were to go back and listen to the episode around Labor Day when we were talking about my son's bar mitzvah and how,
the burning wheelbarrow.
The burning wheelbarrow, which has, of course, been replaced with my Christmas present, which was a new wheelbarrow. Around that time, I mentioned something. I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, but I know I was talking to you guys about it. I had asked my son to pick something up. He or his friends had dropped looked almost like a very tall water bottle's worth of water balloons, and they were all over the floor in a very, very condensed area. It would have taken less than a minute to pick them all up if he had squatted down, used his hand, and picked them all up. I asked him to do this I don't know how many times. Finally, I walk over and I see that he's doing this. And what is he doing? He's bent over in an L shape. He's got his head leaning on a bench that happens to be right there. He's picking them up, and rather than putting them in a canister and saving himself a whole lot of time, he's putting them on the bench. I said, what are you doing? Well, this is easier for me. I'm like, adding multiple steps is easier for you? Just put them on the bench. And of course, I wasn't saying it nearly this calm, because by this time, this has been going on for quite a while. So that's something that he says to me, I would say frequently when he thinks he's doing something right, which is, oh, this is easier for me. I'm like, okay, so you are the point, you're the 1 billionth percentile for whom this is easy. Everybody else does it this way because it has been proven to be easy, but you have to do it the most difficult way possible. Add 30 minutes so you can't do anything else for me? No, just do it this way.
That's the thing that irks me too, is I'll hear the kids say, I don't want to spend all day cleaning. Listen, if you just did your job, instead of taking a break to check your phone or checking a break to just stare out the window for 10 minutes, work as slowly as possible. Now, when it's my night to do dishes, because we all help with the chores, and Wendy does it better than I do, but I can have all day's dishes, and I can have them washed, dried, and put away in 25 minutes. 25 minutes into Idalina doing the dishes, and we have one dish washed. We've changed over to a different YouTube channel so she can listen to whatever while she's doing the dishes. Then she has to go to the bathroom. She's in there for 20 minutes. When I was a kid, my dad used to call it dishwasher diarrhea. Because whenever it was time to do the dishes, you had to go to the bathroom. And, oh my God, just instead of complaining about it, if you just did it, or even better, if instead of dumping everything all the time, you spend 5 minutes just picking up after yourself, we won't spend all day Saturday cleaning. Just kind of do little jobs here and there throughout the week.
And that's what I've got my kids doing now. Like when they get home from school, right, they know what they have to do. Backpacks go on the back of your chair in the dining room. Your jacket, snow pants, and boots all get put where they're supposed to go, hanging up on the shoe trays. You do your homework. Homework is done. Okay, now obviously they're grabbing a snack while they're doing their homework. Then you go to your room and you clean for 5 minutes. Period. There is no questions asked about that, because Madison, my middle child, is lazy when it comes to cleaning her room. She will take clean laundry, leave it in a basket, take her dirty laundry, dump it all over her floor, have stuffed animals everywhere. Her bed looks like it exploded. You can't walk through there. You know, I don't know how she walks through there. And I'm like, this is disgusting. I'm like, this is terrible.
So when you take those snow shovels and just kind of like shovel it out, we have the same problem.
Oh, really, no.
I'm tempted to do that to my youngest room, but a lot of that is honestly my fault. But that's another story for another time.
Well, part of the problem was that she had way too much stuff in her room that she just wasn't using. So my wife went through and took all that stuff out, and then we helped organize a little bit, and I got some stuff hung up on the wall for her and things like that. And so now it stays clean. And so it's to the point now where when I walk into her room at night to give her a hug and kiss goodnight, you know, make sure she's all tucked in, she's like, oh, I hope there's nothing on the other side of my bed. Oh, crap, there's something on the floor. And she'll grab it and she'll put it in the dirty clothes bin. She's like, see, it's good. It's clean. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, she's actually, she's making an effort now. Now, don't get me wrong, it's still messy from time to time. And I find, you know, a small cereal bowl in the living room. Like, why are y'all even eating in the living room?
Right.
Like, you know you're not supposed to.
Though we are eating in the living room tonight because there's the Packers game on.
Yeah.
That's there are exceptions that prove every rule.
We just did that the other night. We ordered pizza and did family movie and pizza night. And, you know, we watched, what was it, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald.
We did that the other night. Not that movie, but Thursday night. Thursday night, there was supposed to be food at this event and mm-hmm. ended up being like next to no food there. Nothing that I would eat anyway, but a lot of green. And so I get home and...
That's so true. Based on all the shows we've gone to in the last 2 years. And it's like, do you have french fries? Do you have applesauce? I don't want anything green. He basically says that when he goes out. Oh, that's great. Continue. I'm sorry.
So the kids had a jazz concert, which I didn't make it to, as I got out just late enough that it wouldn't have been good time management. So Wendy says, well, we're about done here. I go, did you eat yet? She goes, no. So she brought home subs, and I had a chicken finger sub, which is probably the worst thing for me. But I went out and got sodas, and I got the TV tray set up, and she and I had subs, and we watched Eureka.
That is an awesome TV show, by the way.
It is. It's a fantastic show. Now, my other pet peeve actually comes out of the food thing that happens in our house. My littlest one is by far the worst one, though number three is not far behind. Crunching. My good God. Now, I know eating does have some noise to it.
There is crunching involved in eating. It's the excessive crunching that I'm sure drives everybody, not just you, everybody crazy, especially when
they get it from my mother-in-law, who can't see a chip without thinking to herself, if I eat this, how much noise can I actually make? I swear that she'll take a chip and put it in her mouth sideways so it has the maximum crunch value. And I'm like, unbelievable. And my two littlest ones have...
We now have a new phrase, and you know, maximum crunch value, and we're going to shrink that down to MCV, all right? So what's the MCV on that?
Right. That's going to wind up on a side of different, you know, nutritional panels. It's like, you know, 10% of your,
your
decibel level. Yeah.
Yes. So the two littlest ones are the worst at it, and... Joe's really bad.
She's crunched
I've
it.
Never heard anyone eat ice cream before. Heard anyone eat ice cream before.
And that's my coworker, impressive. That's impressive.
My coworker at work, same thing. He's eating M&Ms. I'm like, what the hell are you eating? I'm eating M&Ms.
How?
I have no idea. And he'll drink, and he drinks real hard. And my dad was like, don't make noise while you're at the dinner table. Just chew silently. If you're going to have something that crunches, sit in your mouth for a little bit. Savor the flavor. Let it soften. Then eat it.
Oh, my God.
So I definitely come by it naturally. But if we drank real hard, we get that big gulp. My dad would go, did that hit your toes? Every time my coworker drinks, I'm like, holy cow, I think that hit your toenails. All That's the time. Funny. He goes, what?
I'm usually done eating my plate of food in about 2 minutes. And it's a drawback from being in the military because they, you know, you eat, you they train you to eat really fast. So it doesn't matter what you put on my plate. It's gone in 2 minutes. So I'm doing my duty and I'm gone.
Howie will tell you that I eat the same way. Like, I'm always the first one done. I can be the last person to get their plate when we go out to dinner, yeah. And I'm always the first one done. And I eat as fast as I can.
And I've learned my lesson. When I go out, it just takes me a long time, but about a couple years ago, I realized, you know what? Once my food comes, I'm not talking. Unless I absolutely have to and I'm spoken to and I have to answer a question, I'm not talking. I'm eating. Because I like to enjoy my food.
And he likes to talk.
And no.
If you could talk while eating...
Well, I've tried. It doesn't work very well. I wind up spitting on people. It's bad. Bad situation all around. So I make sure that I eat because I don't want somebody waiting on me to finish my food. I learned that, having extra food or having dessert or ordering if no one else is going to have it, I learned the hard way never to do that after the first time I ever went out with the people who are now my in-laws. We went out to dinner when I went up to visit. Celeste and I were still just dating. Came up here to visit, went to a restaurant in Medina. And at the end of the meal, the guy's like, can I get anything else? And I go, can I have a cup of coffee? And I found out afterwards, Celeste is like, did you see the look my dad gave you when you ordered coffee? I'm like, no. She goes, don't ever do that again. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Why?
I don't know. I had just driven up from Olean in a snowstorm. It was one of those, like, you couldn't see the other side of the thruway style snowstorms because they were like walls of snow. So I had driven up through that. I was tired. And I'm like, I want
to, Was he ready to leave? Is that the deal?
I guess so. But, I ate my food. So since then, I've never really ordered extra anything.
That I know that.
You're going to do that?
Oh, yes. Can I get a cup of coffee? I don't even drink coffee.
Well, then we'll both get coffee. Next time we'll do it just to say,
No. I'm not done my coffee yet. Sorry.
No.
I love coffee.
Coffee's wonderful.
I love the smell of it. I love coffee ice cream. I can't stand coffee.
Okay. But I tend to be more cognizant of... Over the years, I have picked up more nonverbal cues, I guess, from the people around me about the people around me who are like, oh, we're done eating, we need to go, we got to do this, and I'll try to eat quickly, and if I realize, you know what, I don't need to eat these last, half dozen fries, I'm going to be done, that type of thing.
I eat as fast as I can, man, and like when we go out, your wife eats very slow and steady, like she takes her time.
It's methodical.
Yeah, and I'm done. I'm like, yep, I'm right. All right, let's go.
That's because he has nothing green on his plate.
Another pet peeve I have, it doesn't involve my family, doesn't involve anybody here. It's, you ever go to like a grocery store or something and somebody stops in the middle of the aisle?
Yes.
They know you're behind them. Yes. They don't care, but they block the entire aisle because they turn their cart sideways and then they get over in the free space or even in the entry and exit points of an establishment that you're, trying to frequent because you're trying to pay for a service or a good there. People just don't care anymore.
You know how you get around that?
I just go right through them at this point now.
Nope. You want to really confuse them. There is, on those carts that you get from the local stores, there's a kill switch right near the back end by the left tire. You just kick it with your foot. They'll never notice it, and it'll shut it off.
I don't think he's even talking about the automated ones. I think he's talking about the regular ones.
I'm talking about the regular ones with people walking.
Oh, really? Talking about the electronic,
the electronic ones.
The electric carts. No. Oh, yeah. I've hit those switches before, and they can't move.
I'm tired of almost being run over in the grocery stores.
Don't shop on a Tuesday.
I don't, because I know what happens on a Tuesday at that grocery store.
Right.
So I don't go on Tuesdays. But even then, it doesn't matter. It could be a 20-something or a 60-something. It doesn't matter.
I keep all the way to the right. I kind of use the aisle like I'm driving.
And that's the way you're supposed to do it. But what I'm talking about is, you know how you have that long center aisle that goes from, the produce all the way down to frozen?
Yes.
In the store?
Yeah.
And all the other aisles, cross it? So before I cross that long center aisle, I always stop.
And look both ways.
You were supposed to.
So I'm walking down the center aisle and I'm like, I have the right of way because I'm in the center aisle. So I'm walking.
Yeah, you're not crossing traffic.
No, and I don't have a basket or anything. And this lady comes out of the aisle and she's looking at her phone. She doesn't even bother to look up and she just with her cart. And I'm like, I had to stop because she was an inch from running my feet over with a basket full of stuff. And she didn't even look up. She didn't blink. She didn't do anything. She just kept going on about her business.
Because you don't matter. She's the center of her own universe.
I'm telling you, there's going to be an incident in the grocery store. You guys are going to read about it in the newspaper, and you'll be like, I know that guy.
Well, the funny thing is, incidents in grocery stores have happened for years. I mean, we've read about, I'm sure you guys have, incidents of, somebody getting in the express line with 11 items when it's 10 or fewer, and there's a fight.
11's not so bad. It's when it's very much over. It's like you go to the 10 items or less, and you got 12 or 13 items. Who cares?
It's when you got 25 or 30. 40, yeah.
You know, that's a problem.
You know, my best friend, he's very anal about that. And so he'll go to his grocery store, the other grocery stores that we have around here. He gets in the express lane, you know, when it's 15 items or less, he's, you know, he counts his stuff. He makes sure he has 15 or less. If he has 16, he either puts one item he really doesn't need back or he goes to a different aisle. That's just the way he is with it. He's like, okay. I'm like, I got it. I can respect that. So he gets in line and a guy dumps all of his stuff onto the conveyor belt. And he's like, can't read the sign and do math? He goes, it must be really hard, huh? And the guy turns around and is like, huh, what? He goes, you got more than 15 items there. And the guy's like, no. And he's like, well, let's count. And he does this, and he'll put his finger on each item, and he'll count them out. And he'll get to 15, and he's like, shall I continue? 16, 17. Oh. Like, he's... Because he's like, the express lane is for, you know, hey, look, I got 15 items or lesser. I'm in a rush. I need to get this item and get the heck out of your store because I have other things to do.
There's a pet peeve, actually. Do these big box stores put the least capable, slowest people on the express lanes for checking people out?
They shouldn't. You should put the most capable one because you're going to get the most traffic.
You would think.
Right.
And I can't stand the self-checkout ones because they never work right for me.
No, they
and
don't.
I don't get an employee discount, so.
That's
and
true.
I don't get a W-2 for doing it, so I can't, you know.
My last pet peeve has to do with urgency. I am a person who likes to be to places 10 minutes early is on time.
And on time is late.
Right.
Absolutely.
And when I say we need to go someplace, okay, I'll be there in just a minute, and then they're dragging their feet. That drives me crazy. What's even worse is if this happens in the same day, I want to go do something, so we had to get everybody gathered up and do their thing, and they're dragging their feet, and now we're going to be running late, which is actually still on time, but you know, it just drives me crazy. And then later they say, oh, I want to go do this. All right, just a minute. No, I want to go now. Wait a minute.
Exactly. Yeah, what's good? You can't have your cake and eat it too.
Urgent when it's important to you, but when it's important to somebody else and not really important to you, you're like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. That's not cool.
If you give me the schedule and I want to be to the movie theater at 2 o'clock, I'm going to be there at 1:50. If you tell me what the schedule is and you need to be at your boyfriend's house at 4 o'clock, I'm ready to leave here at 3:45. But don't throw something up there and then expect me to jump at it after I've already asked what's going on and you know you've already given me a hard time about being on time. I mean, everybody knows in my house that I'm 10 to 15 minutes early. So be ready to go.
Yes.
I agree with 99% of everything you just said. My son's in marching band.
We get the 1%.
No. I told you what time I was going to be here today. And I was on time. All right. My son's in marching band and he's like, I need to be there at least half an hour early. Like, what time do you need to be there? I mean, if rehearsal's at 6:30 and I'm getting you there a couple minutes after 6, you're still considered quite early. I don't care that you're like on time is late. You're there plenty of time. So he'll come home at sometimes and he'll be like, well, rehearsal is at this time. I go, okay. He goes, we need to be there at 5:30. I'm like, you just told me rehearsal is at 6:30. There's no one who's going to be there at 5:30.
Now, I'm going to respectfully disagree with you on this because I have a dancer and she is a... She's a higher level dancer. So her class starts at 6 o'clock. She wants to be there between 5:30 and 5:40 because she wants to be able to warm up and get stretched before class starts.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be what he's doing. He's warming his lips up or whatever for his instrument.
I can guarantee you that's not what
he's
doing.
Or he's hitting on the girl who's playing tuba.
No.
What instrument does he play?
He plays the trumpet.
Then he needs to warm his mouthpiece up because it's hard to play with a cold mouthpiece.
He might be doing that, but most of the reason he's doing that is because he wants to make a good impression on the band director. I'm like, listen, I understand that...
Is the band director someone we both know?
I don't know.
It's not who I'm thinking of then.
I don't know. We could talk about it off the air.
Okay.
But I'm like, listen, if rehearsal's at 6:30 and it's on a schedule at 6:30 and it has been made abundantly clear that you need to be there between 15 minutes and 30 minutes early to be considered on time, then I will get you there between 15 minutes and 30 minutes early. You will never be less than 15 minutes early. Okay? You'll be there. But don't kick me out of the house an hour and a half before you need to be there because I cannot budget my time around that. I have other things that need to get done. You're on the schedule and you're going to be there on time, but don't rearrange my entire day because you want to be there so early that you're considered rude. There's a difference. There's that line. And once you cross it, you wind up looking like a big fool among your peers. Not necessarily the person in charge, but you got to find the balancing act. So I almost completely agree with everything you said. But there's also that one line that you don't want to cross and turn into somebody who's just a rude idiot showing up that early. Like, he's like, well, perfect example. We're going to take band out of the equation. We're going to take classes out of the example, out of the equation. Every year, my wife's cousins throw a July 4th get together. And the party is always listed as starting at 3 o'clock to question mark. Okay. A party like that, if you show up at 3 o'clock, you're going to be bored out of your mind. You show up a little later than that, especially when you know how many people are showing up and you know it's going all day, you don't need to be there right at 3. You don't.
Let me tell you, because my wife agrees with you on that. I don't. Like, for the bar mitzvah picnic, mm-hmm. It started at 1.
I think it went from 1 to 6.
Yeah, we didn't get to 3 o'clock from 1 to 3. Actually, from 12:45 until 3, I was losing my mind.
I actually believe that. I mean,
are we ready? Are you ready? Come on. We got to go. It's until whenever, but dinner isn't until 5.
You still got your ho-ho cake, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But when a party or a get-together, and I suppose I should stress when an informal party or get-together, one where you don't have to show up in, you know, black tie affair. When something like that is going on for so many hours and most of the afternoon, all day type of thing, showing up right when it begins is not necessarily something you must do. Okay. Showing up, and if something you want to do and something you feel you have to do, that's great. Now, I'm going to add something to it. Showing up, let's say it's a party like the one I mentioned, starts at 3 o'clock and goes to whenever. You want to show up at 4 o'clock? Great. You're going to be there for a couple hours. You're not leaving at 5. You can't show up for 4 o'clock for something that goes all day. Show up in the middle, stay for an hour, have food, and leave. Because that's also rude. There's that fine line you have to learn. It's a balancing act for certain things like that.
I'm usually the first one there and the last to leave.
That works.
Because I want to know when that question mark is. And if it's until 9 o'clock, who knows? If I'm ready to go at 6 o'clock, but who knows if you have like a second ho-ho cake?
I will be bringing one at some point in the next couple weeks.
All right, so you know what my biggest pet peeve is going to be right now is if you're not listening to the Dads Must Be Crazy. You put a lot of work and effort into this, even though it doesn't really sound like it most of the time.
Well, that means we've done well.
We've done a good job.
Work and effort into it.
So for Howie and Bobby, I am Craig, and thanks for listening to the Dads Must Be Crazy. Join us again next week. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.